Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to go to the book of Psalm chapter 23. And if you don't have it, why don't you run, go get it? Why don't you run, go get your Bible? Well, it's very important that we stay connected to the Word. And it's very important that we stay connected to one another. So as Brother Cameron mentioned earlier, if we do not have your current information, would you please call the church office 337-786-4740 because we want your current information so that when our life group leaders reach out this week through phone calls, we'll be able to get a phone call into you. You'll be able to express those needs to them. And then we're going to lift up your request to the Lord in prayer. So if you would now just look at your Bibles. This is the most famous chapter in all of the Word of God. Psalm chapter 23. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. And here it is. The Lord is my shepherd. What we're going to talk about today is how to overcome worry. For those of you that are here, you can be seated. We're going to get right into this. I want you to see why that God doesn't want you to worry. First of all, God is the source of everything I need. Right there in your home, I want you to say that with me. God is the source of everything that I need. You don't have to look anywhere else, brothers and sisters. You don't have to look to the government. You don't have to look to your job. You don't have to look to your spouse. You don't have to look to an individual. You don't have to look to your retirement account or your social security. All of those are good things, necessary things, nothing wrong with it. But remember this, God is the source of everything that I need. If you put your security in something that can be taken away, then you're not very secure. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you're putting your security in a job, you can lose a job. If you're putting your security in a 401k, there are people in this assembly that have literally lost over $100,000 in just a couple of days from their 401k. Why? Because you can have it today. You can lose it tomorrow. You don't want to put your confidence in your good looks because you can lose those. Some of you have already lost it, but you don't want to put your confidence in anything like that because one day you're young and the next day you're old. And you can lose your family. You can lose family members. You can lose friends. You can lose all of those things. And if you put your security in any of that, then what's going to happen is you're going to be disappointed. But listen, you want to put your security in your relationship with God because no one can take that away from you. Look at Psalm chapter 23 and verse 1. And again, we're going to go from the NIV. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. I love that. I will lack nothing. So obviously the first question is this. What is a shepherd? What is a shepherd? Well, a shepherd, shepherds are people who care for the sheep. You may not know much about sheep, but let me just tell you, sheep are really defenseless animals. They have a lot of natural predators. They don't have sharp claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They're not able to run fast. They're not just able to be real mobile. They get lost real easily. They need a defender. A sheep can literally wander off the side of a cliff. And that's why sheep need a shepherd. So what does a shepherd do? Well, if you're taking notes, you ought to write this down. What a shepherd does is a shepherd feeds, leads, and cares for needs. That's what a shepherd does. And we all have various needs. We have needs for protection, and the Lord is our protection. We have needs for direction, and God says that I will direct you. We have needs for sometimes discipline, and God has a unique way of disciplining us. We have needs of encouragement, and God knows how to do that. So a good shepherd leads, feeds, and meets needs. Now, the second truth that I want to share with you is this. There is nothing I need that God cannot supply. You ought to say that. You need to hear yourself saying it. There is nothing that I need that God cannot supply. Here's what Philippians 4:19 says. God will supply all you'll ever need from His glorious resources in Christ Jesus. Now, if you circle in your Bible, you ought to circle that Christ Jesus, because the scripture tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Anything you need, my God can supply it. How's He going to supply it? Through His resources in Himself. See, God's goodness is not based on your goodness. Amen. God's goodness is based on what Jesus did for us at the cross. See, God's good to both the sinner and the saint. Because this morning, there's a lot of people that are not believers, but they're living rent-free on His earth. They're breathing His air. They're experiencing His goodness. You know why? Because God, even though we're not good to Him, He is still good to us. Because God went to the cross so that He could show us His goodness. Can you say amen? Here's the number three thing, or the third thing that I want you to write down if you're writing. God doesn't want me worrying about anything. Philippians 4:6. This happens to be Molly's life verse. And here's what it says. Don't worry about anything. That's pretty clear. If you look up the word in the Greek, the word anything, that's what it means. Anything. God doesn't want you to worry about anything. My job? No. My health? No. My family? No. My finances? No. He doesn't want you to worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Now, we've talked about this before. And I've let this congregation know you've got an option. You can either pray or you can panic. That's a choice that we can make daily. Am I going to panic about what I'm hearing, or am I just going to take it to God in prayer? You can live in anxiety and just be so frustrated and be anxious, or you can live in adoration to God. The choice is yours. You can wake up and you can have knots in your stomach, or you can wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Here's the next thing that you can do. You can invite worship in the front door of your life. And when you do, then worry goes out the back door. Or you can invite worry in the front door and worship goes out the back door. But we're all making choices. All of us are making choices. I'm going to choose to let the Lord be my shepherd. I'm not going to let social media be my shepherd. They're not going to guide me through this storm. God is going to guide us through this storm. The shepherd is going to lead and feed and care for my needs. So I had to ask myself every day, am I going to feed on fearful news? Or am I going to feed on the facts of the Word of God? Will I let God meet my needs? Or hang on. Or will I let a pharmacy meet my needs? Now, I'm not against pharmacy. I'm not against pills. I'm not against doctors. But I just want to look at you and tell you that a pill can never bring you peace. Now, it may help you get through a day, but it won't give you peace. Why? Because Jesus says that this peace that I give you, Not that appeal gives you, but the peace that I give you. The world can't give this kind of peace, and the world can't take it away. Why? Because the peace that we have comes from the fruit of the Spirit. But as in any fruit, you got to have the root of something to get the fruit. So you got to have the root of a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to get the fruit of peace. Oh, that's good stuff. That's where my roots are in. My roots are in Christ Jesus. And then when I have those roots in Christ, then I get the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long suffering. So why doesn't God want me to worry? You ought to write this down. Worry is unreasonable. Worry is unreasonable. If you would, go to your Bibles in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Here's what it says. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about your body or what you will wear. Your life is far more important than clothes. Why is worry unreasonable, Pastor? Because we typically worry about the wrong things. We worry about little stuff like, what am I going to wear? And who's going to notice me? And who am I talking to? And how do I appear? And how many likes do I have on Instagram? And how many friends do I have on Facebook? Brothers and sisters, all of that stuff isn't going to matter 5 years from now. It's all temporary. If you really want to worry, and God tells you not to, but if you really want to worry, you ought to worry about things that are not external, but things that are eternal. If you really want to worry, we ought to worry about where we're going to be in the next 100 years. Where are we going to be living in the next 1,000 years? That's what you ought to be worried about if you're going to worry. Worry about what is eternal. Here's the second reason that God doesn't want you to worry. Are you ready? If you can't change it, then why are you worried about it? Except, say except, except what I cannot change. When you can't control what's happening, then challenge yourself to control the way you respond to what's happening. That's where the true power is. I'm going to say that again. When you can't control what is happening around you, then challenge yourself to control your response to what is happening. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Simply what I just said. I'm not going to be led by anyone else other than my shepherd. And even though I can't control what's going on around me, I can control what's going on in me. I've got the peace of God in me. I have the Spirit of the Lord in me. I'm not going to follow somebody else that don't even know what they're talking about. I'm going to follow my shepherd. Talking today about how we can overcome worry. Here's the third reason. Anytime you worry about something, all it does is it just keeps getting bigger. I know you've experienced this. You've laid in bed at night and you just started worrying. And then it goes, well, what about this? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if I lose my job? Well, what if this person walks out? And all it does, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Remember, if you can't change it, accept it. And when you do that, what it does is it keeps our mind from staying in constant turmoil. You don't want to stay miserable. Here's the next thing. Worry is unnatural. You know, I saw this morning the cows out in the pasture, and they didn't look worried. Yesterday, I saw a little squirrel run across the road, and the little squirrel didn't look worried. I looked at our horse and our donkey and our dogs and our cat, and none of them look worried. Ants don't worry. The rocks don't worry. Nothing of God's creation worries except for human beings. And God says, worry is not natural. He doesn't want you and I to worry. Look at this, Matthew 6 and 26. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, reap, or store away in barns. He goes on to say, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than birds? If God takes care of birds, then surely He's going to take care of us. If anyone is on God's welfare plan, it's birds. Because birds don't really do anything. I mean, what do they contribute to the world? All they do is tweet and poop. That's all they do. They don't provide any substance for human beings, but God made the birds because He loves to hear them sing, and He feeds them every day. And any bird that falls to the ground, God attends its funeral. And God is saying, if I care that much about the birds, then how much more valuable are you? I'm going to take care of you. Then look at Matthew chapter 6, go to verse 28 and 29. He says, why do you worry about your clothing? He said, look at the flower of the fields. Have any of you ever just paused for a minute and looked at an orchid or looked at a rose or a wild flower? The Bible says that not even King Solomon in all of his glory is arrayed like just a wild flower. God says, look, I just want you to pause a minute. And He says, look at the wildflower. They're just beautiful just the way they are. They don't have to get fancy. They don't have to put on beautiful clothes. They don't have to worry about how they appear to anyone else. They just know who they are, and they're beautiful just the way they are. So God says, listen, all this stuff you're worrying about, don't worry about it. Some of you say, well, you know, Pastor, I was just born a worrier. Well, that's what I thought until I really just began to dig into it. And I really realized that there's no baby that is born a worrier. No, it's not natural. What we do is I watched my mother. She was a worrier. And that's where I learned to worry. You probably watched someone else. And so you just think that it's natural. But none of God's creation, none of it worries. We learned that. We learned how to worry. So here's what we can do. We can learn to stop worrying. Because anything that can be learned can be unlearned. You don't want to go the rest of your life being a worry wart. Because all it's going to do is just going to make you miserable. You're going to stay uptight. You're gonna have knots in your stomach. You're going to be full of anxiety. And you're going to have headaches. And hear me, God doesn't want that for any of us. Here's number three. Jesus says worry is unhelpful. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Jesus says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? In other words, you can worry all day, but it's not going to add an hour to your life. You can worry, and it's not going to add an inch to your stature. Or you may feel like you're really tall and like to be a little shorter. You know what? Worrying about that's not going to make you any shorter. So worry is worthless. Say it with me. Worry is worthless. What is worry? It's really stewing without doing. Say that. It's stewing without doing. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. You wonder why I had this rocker. Here's why. Because it's like sitting in a rocking chair and you're sitting there and you're rocking and you're expending all of this energy to rock in the rocking chair, but you're not going anywhere. There's all this motion, but there's no progress. All you're doing is you're just expending a lot of energy and you're not going anywhere when you're worrying. God said, I don't want you to do that. God said, I don't want you to do that. I want you to make progress in your life. I want you to just accept what you cannot control, because when you're worrying, all it does is it messes up the future and it messes up today. Here's a great verse of scripture, Proverbs 13 and 40. And again, we're in the NIV. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. Man, that's a powerful scripture. A heart at peace gives life to the body. You want to be healthier? I mean, really healthy? You want to be healthy? Then guess what? Stop worrying. Because when your heart is at peace, then it gives life to the body. I'm not going to wake up and live my life in fear. Here's what the scripture says, and I didn't give this to him, so it may not come up on the screen, but it's 2 Peter 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does that mean? It means that when I wake up, my mind is not racing like NASCAR. My mind is at peace. My body's at peace. My spirit is at peace. Here's the next thing. Worry is unnecessary. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't go to my dad a lot to ask for things, but I went to my mom. And when I would go to my mom, I'd just say, hey, mom, you know what? I'm looking at this and I'd really like this, or I need this. And as I began to think about it as a child, I don't think that I ever worried about where my mom was going to get the money to do it. As a child, I didn't think about that. I just let her worry about it, and I just wanted her to meet my needs. See, when we worry, what we do is we have forgotten about the goodness of God. Let me go back to a verse. The scripture says that the fullness of the earth is the Lord's. He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so when you're worrying, it's like you have forgotten who your heavenly Father is. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you this morning that your heavenly Father has more than enough. The scripture says he's never seen the righteous forsaken, and he's never, never seen their seed begging bread. Let me remind you that when you're worrying, all you're doing is you're just stewing and you're not doing, and you're forgetting who your heavenly Father is. When Jesus died on the cross for you, do you realize he solved your biggest problem? I'm going to say that again. When Jesus went to the cross for you, he absolutely, unequivocally solved your and I biggest problem. You don't have any bigger problems than eternal salvation. God solved your biggest problems. And if he is willing to do that, then surely, brothers and sisters, he is going to take care of the small things in your life. What's the logic of saying that, well, you know what, I can trust God to get me to heaven, but I can't trust God to help me make my car payment? What is the logic in saying that, well, I can trust God with eternal salvation and forgiving my sins, but I can't trust him with this virus? Well, what's the logic in saying, well, I never doubted one minute about my salvation, but I kind of doubt that God's going to take care of my health? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are listening, please hear this pastor this morning. If you don't doubt that you were born again, then why would you doubt that God can take care of that job? Why would you doubt that God can take care of your health? If you can trust God for salvation, you can trust God for anything. Now, let me wrap this up. You know, if I were walking down Highway 12, which is in front of our church, and I'm walking down Highway 12, okay? And you come by in the vehicle, and you see me, and I've loaded this backpack down with books, so it's pretty heavy. And you see me on the side of the road, and you say, hey, Pastor Wayne, would you like a ride? I'd say, man, that'd be so nice. Man, I really appreciate that if you'd give me a lift. You say, sure, jump in. And I jump in your car. And I keep the backpack on in the front seat. I keep it on. And you're like, Pastor, man, why don't you take that backpack off? And I say, oh, no. Oh, no. Man, I'm really not even worthy enough for you to just pick me up and take me where I need to go. So, you know what? I'm going to just sit on the edge of my seat here, and I'm going to just keep this backpack on. You just kind of look at me like, Pastor, I don't really understand why you're carrying the backpack, because the car can carry you and the backpack. So why don't you just take the backpack off and just sit back and relax till we get you to where you need to go? You know, I got to thinking about what we're going through right now. And we say, yeah, I believe that God can save me, but, you know, Lord, I'm gonna carry my marriage. Because I don't really know if I trust you to carry it. Or, God, during this time, I know that you saved me, but man, there's so much going on right now. I don't know if I can trust you to carry my health. Brothers and sisters, don't you believe if God went to the cross for you and carried all of your sins to the cross and saved you, that He can carry your health? He can carry your marriage? He can carry your job? He can carry your kids? He can carry your finances? God doesn't want you to worry today. He doesn't. He wants you to just take this backpack. And He wants you to unload all of the fears that you are facing, all of your anxieties that you're facing. He says, I want you to take it. And I want you to just put it. I want you to put it at the foot of the cross. I'm going to challenge you this morning as we wrap this up. How do we overcome worry? Here's what I want you to start doing this week. Are you ready? I'm going to challenge you to do three things this week. First of all, I'm going to challenge you to trust in a God who is in control when maybe circumstances and life just feels out of control. I just want you to accept what you can't change. I'm going to challenge you to do that. The second thing that Pastor is going to challenge you to do is focus on your faith. Focus on your faith. Don't focus on your fears, because when you focus on your fears, it puts your mind in turmoil. But focus on your faith. I'm going to challenge you to read Psalm 91 this week. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Read Psalm 91. Then read Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then I want you to read Psalm 18 verses 1 through 6. I want you to read that. Here's the third thing I'm going to challenge you for. Start doing what you can instead of stewing about something that you have no control over. My brothers and sisters, and anyone who's watching this morning, here's what I want you to do right there in your home, wherever you're at. Those of you that are here this morning, I just want you to bow your heads. And I want you to take that fear and that anxiety and that worry and that frustration, I want you to take that backpack off, because God's big enough to carry not only you, but He's big enough to carry all of your fears and all of your anxieties. And right now, what I want you to do in the comfort of your own home, by your recliner, by your couch, by your favorite chair, doesn't matter, in the kitchen, wherever you are, I want you to pause for just a minute and I want to pray over you. Because we're living in some challenging times right now. We're living where people's fear level is at an all-time high. Do I even step out of my house? I'm here to tell you that God wants to carry that. Why don't you take it to the cross right now? Bow your heads. I want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that I have received this week. I've received this week prayer requests telling me, Pastor, I've lost my job. I'm having to move from where I've been living. My school shut down. Lord, I just feel so discombobulated. I don't kind of know whether I'm coming or going. Lord, what's going to happen? God, when is all this going to end? Lord, this morning, we just want to come and we want to bring worry. We want to bring anxiety. We want to bring our fears, our frustrations. We want to bring all of that this morning. And we want to unload it at the cross. I'm going to challenge you right now. Wherever you are, some of you are battling with bad anxiety. Why don't you stay right now? Right where you are, and they're just going to start singing. And it's, why don't you cry out to God right now? Cry out to God at the foot of the cross. Just unload that anxiety. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Come on, brothers and sisters. Right where you are.
He goes before me.
He's going before you. He's a defender behind you.
Defender behind me.
You need to stay just a few minutes at the foot of the cross till you feel a release. Till you feel that heavy burden coming off of you. Till you feel like, man, I've unloaded my fear and my anxiety and my frustration. I'm unloading this. If God's big enough to save you, He's big enough to carry your burden. He's big enough to carry your fear. Yes, He is. Come on. Come on. Come on, talk to God right now. God, I surrender. God, I surrender to your loving control. God, I know that what you have for me is the best for me. God, I can surrender to your loving control, God.
Oh,
pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.